really, really on me. At the leadership meeting, I was like, we got to pray. And God, at the prayer meeting, God was really happy that we were praying. And so we're going to keep praying. And we're going to see breakthroughs because, you know, Mike is a miraculous sign and wonder. I seen him last week. Darla, she had it. And I don't know what's happened. But I know, Lord, that you just give us an opportunity to stretch out and go for the supernatural. You gave us an opportunity to look for healing. Ha. It's funny because my wife said to me, she said, did you pray for healing at the prayer meeting? I said, we prayed a bit. And she's like, no, we got to pray even more for healings. Because we want more healings in the prayer meeting. And I asked Carrie, she's prophetic, right? I said, what do you want to pray for? She said, pray for more healings. So we're just going to take a minute. Lord, we pray for more healings to break out. We pray for John to get healed. Yes, God. Ha. We pray, Lord, that John would be totally 100% healed and that he would be dancing one day to the worship over there. That I would see him dancing, God. Ha. And we pray for John to be totally healed. And we pray, and for anybody else who's sick and got infirmities inside this church, Lord, that they would be totally healed. For Darla to be totally healed, ha. I've been praying for Carrie's eyes and for Carrie's feet to get healed, too. I pray for Carrie's eyes and for Carrie's feet to be totally healed in Jesus' mighty name. Ha. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would break out these healings because you have the power and the glory. And we will not be intimidated. We will not be pushed back or discouraged by the enemy. Amen. Wow. Okay. I hate the devil. How many here hate the devil? How many people hate his works? I hate him. I hate him. You know? I just, Oh, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just tear the devil down. Like, I've been thinking about the Lord's Prayer and how it's like our Father who art in heaven. But at the very end of it, you know how it ends? It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so I really believe that Jesus was a revivalist. And he wanted to see the kingdom of God come down to this earth. And he actually asked us to pray about it. And I believe that that was the way that he prayed. That was the way that he prayed. He was like, your kingdom come. Ha. And I want to see more of Jesus in this place. I want to see more of his kingdom coming. Who wants more of his kingdom come? Lord, more of your kingdom come, Lord. You are a diligent rewarder of those who seek you. You are. How many people believe they have a destiny in God? That God created you with a purpose and with a plan. How many believe that they have a call in God and that God has created you with a call? Right? Maybe God has called you to be a missionary. Maybe God has called you to be an evangelist. Maybe God has called you to be a business person. That we all seem to have a dream, a call from God. God tends to give us the big picture. Does anybody notice that? I got the big picture, like 14 years ago. I remember that. God's like, yeah, you'll be a fire starter. You'll start fires in people's hearts. I was like, first I didn't really get it. I was like, what? Anyways. And I've been teaching myself that it's good to have a prophecy, and it's one thing to have a prophecy, but it's another thing to walk that prophecy out. Is that true? There's people who've had the same prophecy for 20 years and never walked it out. Did you know that? You know, I was teaching my kids about the parable of the sower, because it's a really big thing in my life. For years, it's been huge. Because the Lord said the seed is the word of God, and it goes into your heart. You know? And sometimes your heart is fallow ground, it's bad soil, and the seed gets snatched away. And that could be a promise from God, that could be a healing, it could be anything. Something good, because if it comes from God, it's good. Sometimes the weeds spring up and choke the word, and it doesn't bear fruit. And sometimes, you know, it springs up for a little while, but then when trouble and persecution come, we actually abandon the word as people. But then there's the word that falls in the good soil. And it springs up and it bears fruit. And Jesus said sometimes it'll bear 20%, 30%, 80%, 100%. Me, I'm like, God, I want the word that you give me to bear 120%. Because if God gives me a word of provision, I can go for the $20, 20%. I can go for the 50%, the $50. I can go for, you know, the 100%, the $100. Or I can go for the 120%. And the reason why I believe you can get the 120% of that word is because the Bible says that God wants to bless us overly and abundantly. John Arnott used to always say, it's not so much how much God is willing to give to you, it's how much you're willing to receive. And he's willing to receive a lot. I can tell he's gotten the nations over and over again and signs and wonders and heal, like, you know. And so I want to be one whose heart is prepared to receive. I want to make it through the desert into the promised land. Who wants to make it through the desert into the promised land? You know, you might have points in your life where your knee goes out, or your finances go out, or a relationship goes out, and there'll be trials. And those trials are desert places in our lives. I believe that with all my heart. You know? And sometimes you're just, all you can see is just sand. Has anybody ever been there? Well, I've been there lots of times. And the question is how do you make it through the day when all you can see is sand? When it doesn't seem like God's promise is coming true. How do you make it through that day? Does anybody know? How do you have strength? And how do you have peace to keep marching forward? Well, I believe that God wants to give us strength. There's a passage in Kings, where an angel wakes up Elijah and he gives him some bread and some water, and he says, you have to eat the bread and drink the water, for you'll have strength to make it through the long journey through the desert. Jesus, in John 6:48-41, you know what he says? He says, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors, they ate manna that fell down from heaven. But I'm the manna that if you eat, you'll have everlasting life. And people were mad. So you followed me because you had bread and you had all that you wanted. But I tell you, I am the bread The bread of life. The disciples were like, this is a hard teaching. And people were like, who can follow this? Some people even pointed at Jesus and they said, you have a demon and you're a Samaritan. And I'm not following you anymore. Isn't that interesting? But what they didn't know is that Jesus really is the bread from heaven. In Psalm 78:24 says that God fed the Israelites with bread that came down from heaven. And Jesus came down from heaven to earth that he might fill us with joy and peace and strength, and that it might get us through the desert place. Because you see, in Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 8, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Jesus was the word that came down from heaven to the earth and made itself flesh. In our desert place. He was the word that came down and became our bread. So I'm going to turn now because I'm going to explain to you about this manna that they had in the desert because it's a spiritual picture. We're going to turn to Exodus. Exodus. Yay. Exodus from bondage into the promised land. Who wants to be making that Exodus? Yeah. Okay. So in Exodus, it talks about the manna. Exodus. Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers. Exodus 16. And so, the people were hungry in the desert. And they cried out to Moses. And they said, did you bring us out here to die? How many have said that prayer before? Did you bring me out here to die? God? Complain, complain, and you know, and God's answer is like, nope, I have something for you in this desert. It's called manna. And if you eat it, you won't die. But it'll fill you with strength. It'll fill you with peace. It'll fill you with hope. And they ate this manna. Verse 16. And this thing which the let. Genesis, Exodus 16, 5 through 17. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They brought. Shall we? And they were commanded that they would gather it daily, except for on the Sabbath day, they gathered it twice. And it was like bread, and it was like, you know, they say it was sweet to the taste. And they could make cakes with it and stuff. And they gathered it up, and it's interesting about this manna, because when they did gather it, they had just enough. Those who gathered too much didn't have too much. And those who gathered too little didn't have too little. But everybody had just enough manna. And I believe that it's the same way with a daily walk with God. When you gather yourself to seek God, He'll give you just enough to get through that day. And the manna will be sweet to your taste. And if you try to keep yesterday's manna for tomorrow, it seems to spoil. Unless it's on a Sabbath. Because I believe that the Sabbath is Christ. And so when you're praising Jesus, and you're worshiping Him, and you're getting filled with His presence, and your eyes are fixed on Him, I believe that manna will never spoil. The glory of God will never spoil. And so you can rest in Him on the Sabbath, and you can eat that manna over and over again. But the other manna that God sends, the Word of God from heaven, into your desert place, to kind of pull you along through the desert. Because if you keep eating the manna and you follow the cloud, you're surely going to enter into the promised land. Right? And so, as Natasha said, God didn't show her the whole plan right away, but He led her through the desert little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit. And the same way He led the Israelites through the desert little bit by little bit by little bit, laying down the manna, which is the bread from heaven. How many people know that they can have manna now if they want it? That there's manna available to them every day. And that manna is the hidden manna that they talk about in Revelation. It's the manna that they put in the pot that never goes bad, that sits beside, that's on the Holy of Holies, in the Holy of Holies. It's in the Ark of the Covenant. That manna is the manifest presence of Jesus Christ every day for every day. And if you eat that manna every day, you will have the strength to walk into the promised land. And you won't have to worry about where you're going. Ha. Because you'll be filled with peace and with strength. Now, some people don't like the manna. In Numbers 11, 1 through 34, the people were crying out, "We don't want to eat this manna anymore. Give us meat." They got tired of eating the bread from heaven. I've done that before. How many people? I've done that. Some people say that the meat stands for like distractions like TV and stuff like that. Right? Some people would say that. And some people say that the meat would be standing for religion. Being able to get through the desert without having the daily relationship with Jesus Christ. So you're worshiping God through a system of things that you do, a Levitical way, rather than from a relationship with Jesus Christ on a daily basis. The Bible says that God was displeased with this, and it brought a plague upon the people and made them sick, and many died. And I see people dying in the church from religion all the time. And there's days where you just have a choice between manna and meat. And sometimes the meat looks a little more tempting, but I'm telling you, go for the manna. Go for the manna. If you eat the manna, you'll be like Daniel, twice as strong and twice as wise as those who are eating the meat. You know, Daniel fasted and prayed and humbled himself before the Lord and wouldn't eat the food that the pagans were eating. And he became twice as strong and twice as wise as those around him. And to get through the desert, sometimes you're going to need to be twice as strong and twice as wise as what you are. If that makes sense. Ha, I like that. Yeah. And so, in Revelation 2:17, it talks again about the hidden manna and how God can give it to us as a reward. It's interesting because he's talking to the compromising church at the time, the church that's eating too much meat and not enough manna. And it says, at the end of eating the manna, you'll get a stone with your name written upon it. Now, IHOP, they have this theory about the stone, how it's this big stone, and it's like a super iPod awesome thing with revelation all in it. Nobody knows, because the Bible says no eye has seen, no ear has heard the glory of the good things that God has stored up for us. And I believe that there is a stone with a new name on it in heaven for us. And it's awesome. More awesome than what we could ever imagine. But I also believe that that stone is symbolic for what we become transformed into as we daily eat the manna. Because Jesus said, I am the rock. And that if we eat of him, we will be transformed into the likeness of God. And that we will become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I believe that that new creature, that new creation in Christ Jesus, is the Romans 8, more than a conqueror. And we become more than a conqueror because we eat the manna and it leads us through the desert. And as it leads us through the desert, it brings us to the promised land, and that's the place where we conquer the enemies and we take the land. Yeah. Yeah. Because we want to take that land. And from eating the manna, we become twice as strong and twice as smart as the enemy. Sure of it. I'm sure of it. And of course, I believe that manna. I'll say it over and over and over again. Jesus is the bread that came down from heaven for you and for me. And we can feast on him. I feast on him all the time. And when I'm not feasting on him, I find myself pretty dry and pretty broken, pretty discouraged. Yeah. The real question is have you had your manna today? Have you had your manna today? Have you had some Jesus today? Ha. Are you hungry for more? For more of Jesus? Are you hungry for more revelation? I hope you are, because yesterday's manna won't get us to the promised land. We have to eat that manna every day for every day. Because when God gives us a promise, it's to entice us to seek him for provision for the promise. And usually that provision comes in the form of wisdom. Comes in wisdom. And the more wisdom and revelation you get, the further you can see past the sand. The further you can see past the sand, past the storm, and you can see all the way out to the promised land. They used to have the Maharajis on the camels, and they would direct people where to go, and they would always have this thing that would cover their eyes so that they could look straight across the desert, because deserts tend to be flat. They have dunes, but and they guide them across with the camels. Ha, I wanted to read a scripture verse. I was reading it last night and I was like, wow, this is really awesome, God. And I believe like it's an invitation from God for our church. Oh. I'm really upset that Darla got attacked, but I know that it's just strengthened my resolve to pray harder. It's funny because I stopped praying for her about a week ago and I heard that she was fine and she was walking around and the doctors were all happy. And I know as an intercessor that one of the worst things you can do when you're praying for something and you just start to get the victory is to stop. Jackie would know what I'm talking about. The worst thing to do, isn't it? Because God doesn't want us to push the enemy back just to our borders, but he wants us to push him all the way up to the top and take over his stronghold and his city. Because if we don't, he'll come back again the next year, 7 times stronger. That's just a little bonus. Exodus, Deuteronomy 8. Ha. Shalabarababakubarababa. So I believe that today this would be a word that God would have for us as a church. It says, every commandment which I command you today, be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. You shall remember the Lord your God, who led you all the way these 40 years through the wilderness, to humble you and to test you, and to so that you would know what was inside of your heart, whether you would keep his command or not. And so he humbled you and lowered you to hunger, so that he could feed you with the manna, which you did not know, nor your fathers knew, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Your garments did not wear out, nor did your shoes all these 40 years, that you should know in your heart. That we should know in our heart that God, that we are God, his son. God chastens his sons, and so the Lord chastens us. Therefore, we should keep his commands, and we should walk in his ways and fear him. For the Lord our God is good, church, and he is bringing us into a good land with brooks of water and fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat, a land of barley, of vines, of figs, of pomegranates, a land of oil and honey, a land in which we will live and eat bread without scarcity, in which we will lack nothing, a land in which there are stones of iron that we can dig out and copper. And when we have eaten and are full, the Lord our God, we will know that He is good. I believe prophetically, and it's so weird, that God is going to cause our church to have a supernatural breakthroughs, and that He's going to fill this place with people and with more of His presence and with healings and all kinds of stuff. But even before we get there, God wants to remind us that He's been feeding us with the manna. And the manna isn't so much a provision, but a person. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He's more than enough to get us through our desert places. And I'm more than willing to keep eating, feasting on Christ, because I know where He's leading us. And it's a good place. It's a really good place. And He's causing us to become humble so that when we do get into our promised land, we will not forget how we got there. And we will not lose our promise because of it. Does that make sense, church? Yeah. It says in verse 12, lest when we have eaten to full and we have beautiful houses and dwell, and we have herds and flocks that multiply, we have silver and gold that are multiplied, and our heart is full and lifted up, we wouldn't forget the Lord our God who brought us out of bondage, who led us through the terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents, scorpions, and there was a thirsty land and there was no water. You know, but He would give us water that came from the rock, and He would feed us in the wilderness with manna, which our fathers did not know, that we might be humble and that He might test us. And then you will say in your heart, my power and my might that are in my hand and all my wealth came from God. He's not a mean God. He doesn't test us to make us crazy, to make us bitter, or to make us curse God and forfeit our promise. That's not His intention. But no, He's a good God. And He loves us very much. And He's leading us through the desert. And I believe that even while we're in the desert and not in the promised land, He's brought us to a place where He's reserved the best food for us. The best food. Not the milk, not the honey, not the meat, but the manna, which is the very Word of God. That we would know that we don't live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of His mouth. And that that word would give us life. That word would be the very river of God flowing into our desert places and turning it into our promised land right before our eyes. Amen? Thank you, guys. Ha. Praise the Lord. I want more of the bread, more of God. We don't even have a worship worship so much, but Lord, just take your eyes out right now and just close your eyes. Ha. And just start to imagine Jesus. Ask him if he's got a word for you today, for today. Sometimes the only word God has for me is love your wife, and that's good. Sometimes the Lord will say to me, I need you to read your word. Just for that day. Sometimes the word God has for me is soften your heart. Or forgive this person. Just take a second and ask God, what's his word for now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Just keep pouring out the manna. Some people have been eating the meat of distraction or the meat of religion, and it's made them sick. And if that's you, just take a moment to ask God to heal you. So if you look upon the person who you pierced, it'll heal you. And I'm going to ask for physical healings and for spiritual healings to break forth right now. Ha. As we just look upon him who we have pierced and who was lifted up, a healing might flow from his cross to us. Healing for any bitterness, healing for any misunderstanding. Healing for any brokenheartedness or anger at God. Ha. Thank you, Lord. Healing for any tiredness and discouragement. As we just confessed, manna is good. And God's presence is enough to get me through this desert. Shalom, Rabba. Thank you, Lord. Just cast your cares upon him. Put your burdens upon him. We'll just take a moment and we will stop relying on what we've done this week for God or what we haven't done for this week for God. And just allow him to fill us with strength and with peace. Ha. And that we would experience the sweetness of his presence, the sweetness of his word. Ha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Ha.
And I just speak over each and every one of you that you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You will make it through the desert place into the promised land. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disappointed. But know that your God is good. And He has great plans for our lives and for the life of our church. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Bless you, Midtown.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. And if you know anybody who needs to get blasted,